Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we're going to talk about how musicians in different locations can get together with each other over the internet and jam with each other in real time.
We'll talk with Andre Louis, who will describe a powerful tool called Ninjam and demonstrate how it works. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Andre Louis.
For people who've listened to the show, this comes out every once in a while that Pete's blind and I'm sighted. But in conversation with new people who don't know us, it's kind of transparent, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. That's the way it kind of should be, though. You should never feel like one of you has to stand out. This is what we feel in our family, too. You know, it doesn't matter. Who cares about the sight issue? Look at the people and what they're capable of. A lot of people do harp on about disablement, though, and it just bugs me. Get on with it. I'm in no disrespect, but it just, you know, people need to just take life as it is offered. It might not be offered in everybody's flavor, but, you know, you have to just take it and run with it, because if you don't, you'll wallow in self-pity, and that's boring.
And that's a really great attitude. I mean, we don't make much differentiation between, you know, the fact that I can see or not. And some people run fast and some run slow. Some cook well, some don't cook well. Not being able to see is just another difference, and you work around it and teams complement each other.
In fact, just this afternoon, somebody from the telephone company showed up because we had a question about the wiring to the main transformer box outside. And Pete mentioned, as he followed me down the walkway to the boxes, he said, "Well, I'm blind, so I have to follow." And the guy just didn't skip a beat. He said, "Well, you know, we all rely on other people for various things." And he was quite comfortable with the whole thing.
And how wonderful things would be if more people had that attitude. There's a pretty piano.
That was Andre Louis improvising on a Bösendorfer grand piano at Chappelle's of Bond Street, which claims to be the world's best music store, and it was certainly a beautiful piano, played beautifully. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Andre Louis.
So Andre, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Andre Louis. I'm a blind musician from London.
And what's the nature of your blindness?
Optic dyskinesia, and that basically means I know as much as you do.
I gather the doctors know as much as all of us also.
Yeah, when I registered with my new doctor, he was like, optic, and I was like, yeah, that. And he's like, well, I have no idea what that is. And I've been in the medical profession for years, because I registered with a new doctor recently, as I just moved house last year. So of course you have to register everything. And that was kind of the response. And I get that from everybody. I have no idea what it means.
So you've been blind since birth?
Well, apparently. I don't remember a time before, although my mom swears up and down that I wasn't at one stage. But I don't know.
So as a child in England, does that mean you learned Braille at a very young age? Or do they have mainstreaming there? How does that work?
I was at mainstream nursery kindergarten to you, but then I went to a blind school in London, which was subsequently shut down when it had 20 students and everybody kind of dispersed elsewhere. But yeah, I did learn Braille from about 4, I think. I didn't like it at the time. I still don't. I prefer to read on the PC, but, you know, it's there and I have the skills, so I will never forget it.
So I should ask the corresponding question. I actually learned Braille as a child also, and they tried to teach me Braille music, which I thought was horribly difficult and never really bothered with.
Ugh.
Do you use Braille music?
They tried to make me learn it when I was 9 or 10 learning piano, and I said to this teacher, look, if you want me to retain any of this, then play it by ear and I will learn it by ear. And I picked up a lot more that way, and she finally got over it and said, okay, fine, although I've never taught this way and would prefer you to read Braille music. By the time I'd read it, I'd forgotten what I'd read, and I hated that. And I hated feeling so limited in that I just didn't have the time to remember it, so I gave up on it.
That's been kind of my approach too. I used to memorize my music line by line, and you know, by time you know the notes, then it was time to work on it, and then I was bored with it. So I found learning by ear a lot easier, and nowadays I play jazz in a trio combo here.
Jazz is beautiful. Jazz is what I live for. Absolutely.
So are you a full-time musician?
Well, I'm not actually jobful. I'm rather jobless at this time, but if I were to have a job, it'd probably be in that profession. If not, then something to do with computers and music combined, because those are the things that I thoroughly enjoy.
And it seems like you're quite technically savvy from the blogs I've seen on your site.
Well, kind of. I mean, you know, I can throw a machine together and I can make it work and I can build its insides and blow a couple things up now and again. But I do enjoy tech stuff, definitely.
I know you just said you live for jazz. Is that your primary genre, or you play multiple genres?
Oh, I definitely play multiple genres, yeah, as can be heard on my SoundCloud.
And what's that URL?
SoundCloud.com/Andre-Louis.
Can you spell that?
It's A-N-D-R-E-L-O-U-I-S.
And you heard a little bit of Andre playing that beautiful Bösendorfer grand piano at the first breaker. You'll hear additional clips of Andre playing. And if you like those, you'll enjoy the multitude of clips that he has in his SoundCloud account.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is how you can jam over the internet with other musicians wherever they are.
We wanted to talk with you about internet jamming or playing music with others on the internet. But before we get into the details of that, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into some of this and how you learned about it?
I was told about it by a friend of mine called TJ. He sort of mentioned it in passing and said, look, this might not be accessible, but I found this product called Ninjam, which is ninjam.com, N-I-N-J-A-M. And he's like, well, give it a try. And I tried it and basically spent all night with a bunch of us. We got a lot of people together, about 7 of us that night. Basically pulled an all-nighter, was playing together and just jamming for the first time ever conveniently without being all offset and delayed and stupid about it. And it was just really a lot of fun. That was in 2006. I believe it was April of 06. And I've been back ever since, met a lot of good people, networked with a few people, collaborated on a few tracks as a result thereof. There's this guitarist from Italy, for example, called Brunello, who is just ridiculous. His talent is second to none, and he's a guy that I incredibly much respect. And it seems to go both ways. And we've done a couple of tracks together, having met on Ninja. So it's good for that. You know, it's a great place for musicians to congregate, meet people, and otherwise just pass on blogs, sounds, ideas.
Now, Andre is about to explain how this works, and it took us several minutes through this interchange to figure out that what he meant by one measure was once through the tune. So we hope that by explaining that to you at the beginning, you won't be as confused as we were.
So for those who don't have any idea what we're talking about, and perhaps maybe even aren't musicians, can you give an overview of what this is all about?
What it does, Ninjam, is a little program that you run. But it connects to the line-in of your sound card, essentially, anyway. And it delays the signal between you and the server and the next person. So you're always actually playing one full measure behind. So, for example, if you wanted to play a 12-bar, you would actually set the beat counter to 48 beats. And the person would then start it, and you'd have a huge long wait time before it came around again. But in doing so, the server's syncing up everybody, and then you all start at beat zero. And you just go through the blues and play along with it and have a lot of fun, actually. It can feel real time by the time you get going. It's incredible, really incredible, great things.
So I don't quite understand how everybody can be a half measure behind. I mean, who's kind of in the lead? How does this sync up?
It's a full measure. It's not a half measure, because if it was a half measure, then when I was like, if it's like, you know, a blues and F, when I hit the B flat, you'd still be an F. So it's a full measure behind. And there's no law against who starts it, but kind of people just sort of start playing slowly and people build up and it kind of comes in. And there is actually a site that I'll link you off air if you like, with a lot of clips from Ninjam. I've been collecting them over the years. I have a ridiculous amount of them now. And you can sort of hear that. You'd be surprised at just how good it can sound. I do edit them, obviously, because otherwise it'd be kind of crazy. But it's really a lot of fun.
But how can everybody be a measure behind everybody else? I mean, if you start playing and I'm a measure behind you, then you're a measure ahead of me.
that's it. But I'm also a measure behind you because I don't hear you until you've started playing and you don't hear me until I've started. It's very hard to actually explain. It's actually a lot easier to do than it is to explain. It's weird. But it does work. It's not a gimmick. It does work.
So this will work if everybody knows the chord progression ahead of time.
Sure.
And they're all kind of in sync that way, right? Is that the idea?
That's kind of it. Although a lot of people do just stick with, you know, standard 16 beats and a couple of a groove or two, you know.
Some kind of pattern of chords and progressions.
Sure. Exactly that.
And then presumably if you're all playing in the same key, even though the chord for that measure is different from the one in the next measure, it all sounds okay?
As long as you set, yeah. Because what it is, it's all BPI, beats per interval. And so if you're doing, say, Blue Bossa, what do you need for that? I think it's a 48er as well, or is it 32? I forget. I know it when I do it. But having to think in beats as opposed to full bars is kind of weird. But you kind of get used to it. But most of us just play around with a little bit of 16s, and it does work.
Well, I guess as you said, if you're playing the blues, people know what the blues progression is. And if you just know you're in a certain measure of the blues cycle, you just sync up there, and that should be okay.
It is great. So, for example, I've got keys access here. If that's working, it should be working.
Yeah, that's fine.
So if we only stuck with a 16, you know, maybe like a... And that's the whole thing. And everybody just comes in after that. So on my second time round, you're hearing my first time, and I'm not hearing you yet. I will be now. Now I hear you, see? And that's how it all lines up.
So you just basically did a little ninjam with yourself?
With myself, yes, essentially. And so on my third, I would be hearing you, but you'd be hearing me. You'd hear me from the first, but you'd be playing probably initial really quick on my second, just so you know the chord progression.
So I have a stupid question. See, Pete's the musician in the family. I'm his roadie. When he plays out, I haul all this stuff and hook it up. I also maintain his website and a few other things. So you said you're always hearing the other people a measure ahead of you. But it seems to me, you're talking about like a technical musical measure that has typically four beats? Or are you talking about once through?
Yeah, once through the whole progression. You set your BPI, beats per interval, to be one full progression of the piece. It's not really in bars in Ninjam. Of course, you can think of it that way in your head, but the metronome starts tick. And then every tock, the other 15, say, assume that's 15 of them is tocks, and then it goes back to tick. Otherwise, if you had only four, then you would have only one. You could technically only play, what, one chord or two chords? One, two, three, four, one, two. That would be really boring very quickly. So you set kind of a decent length so you can go around more.
Oh, so that was my confusion. When I heard the nomenclature, they talk about being a measure behind. What they really mean is being one full cycle of the song.
Yeah. And it's weird. You have to look at your status bar so you get on beat zero. Otherwise, people start playing on different parts and it gets a bit fuzzy.
Right. And you don't want to start playing in the middle. That could be, oh, I see. Okay. So now that makes sense to me.
It's really, as I say, it's hard to explain. It's really great in practice.
So even if it's like a AABA tune, everybody's on the AABA, but maybe somebody's gone through it once or twice more than you have.
Yes, exactly it. But if it's an AABA, then you have to have calculated beforehand and set the thing directly to what you want it to be.
Right, so you can hear when you're starting the tune.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's really, really a lot of fun. And I've spent hours and hours there making absolutely crazy music and just coming and going into the middle of things, because when you join, the minute you join, you get a metronome if you've got it turned up and not muted. And it's quiet and you think, hey, no one's playing. And then, of course, you have to hear the full cycle before you hear what's actually going on. So when you join, you don't play until you hear that, and then you can join in.
So I mentioned that I maintain Pete's website for his trio. If anybody wants to go there, it's www.torpeytrio.com, and that's TORPEYTRIO, all one word. And I apologize, that site is not entirely accessible, but the pages that have sound clips of Pete playing solo or with the trio are accessible, and we will have those links in the show notes. But this show is really about Andre Louis and his music and how he makes music with others using Ninjam. So let's get back to that.
Do you ever get a vocalist?
Yeah, we've had all kinds of crazy people come in before with vocals, and all kinds of mad people trying to sing and drunk in the bathroom. I swear, honestly, in 6 years, I've had many very strange people come. We've had trumpetists, electronic violins, guitar players. Electronic guitar players are the worst because they just want to play over everybody and act like God. That's the most irritating part. But when you get a really good musician, it is fantastic. I just can't tell you, the vibe is tremendous.
Do you get to control the volume of anybody?
Yes, each person. Yeah, each person has their own volume. And basically, whatever you can connect to your line in, so in my case, keyboards and VSTs and hardware, you play that. Or you can connect a mouth harp and play that, or a harmonica and play that. And if you have, you know, access to effects and reverb and things, just pipe it and enjoy. It's really crazy.
Now, hold on a second. You said in your case you connect keyboards. I know what they are. You know, they're pianos. But then you said hardware and some initials.
Oh, VSTs. VSTs are virtual software instruments. So, for example, I have access to one here called Addictive Drums. This isn't coming from the hardware that I have. I've got five pieces of hardware that I use as a rule. But I also have a lot of software, like a lot of musicians do these days, have software on the machines. And this is a drum kit, essentially. Just one of many things I have access to.
And just so people are clear, those aren't real drums. Those are software drums.
Yeah, that's right. But I am one of the few, I think, and I don't say that with any arrogance whatsoever. Myself and a guy called Goldfingers are probably two of the better MIDI drummers, at least that we know thus far in the known world. And we had a drum battle one time, and it was great. We're both playing 61 key controllers, and just we had a lot of fun.
So then you said you have all of this hardware. What kind of hardware do you have?
I got a Roland Phantom XR, which is a 1U rack mount module. I got an SC88 Pro, which is another piece of Roland gear. My keyboard is a Juno G, which is a 61 key controller with sounds. It's kind of the budget line, but it works. And I also have a Motif ES rack, which is another 1U rack unit. And finally, a Korg X5DR from about 1994, which is a half rack unit, which is really cute.
And that's a lot of interesting hardware. And for those that don't know, we should explain that those are essentially hardware devices that are used to generate different musical sounds. So you might have, as Andre said, drums coming out of some of these, or you may have pianos or strings or any kind of musical instrument you can imagine. And these are all controlled by his MIDI keyboard. And a MIDI keyboard is just a keyboard that has some electronic output that essentially drives these controllers. And some of the controllers can be hardware ones like he described, or some of the software controllers inside the computer. So there's many ways of making sounds, and musicians have a lot of versatility these days.
And at the risk of being too clear, when you say it's a MIDI keyboard, you mean it looks like a piano. It doesn't look like a typewriter.
You got it. MIDI, that's M-I-D-I. It stands for Musical Instrument Digital Interface.
And according to Wikipedia, that's a standard adopted by the electronic music industry for controlling devices such as synthesizers and sound cards that emit music. And that's what makes much of this possible.
So essentially, you have these all connected to your computer, and you use a screen reader such as JAWS or Window Eyes to control your devices. Is that right?
Yeah, and I use a free MIDI sequencer, and I write all my stuff using this free MIDI sequencer, and it controls all the hardware for me, essentially. I just tell it where to go, and it does it. So even though this keyboard, it's got sounds turned off at the moment because I'm not actually controlling it. Local mode is off. You might know what local mode is. And if you don't, I'll explain it. So when I hit these keys now, that's the Phantom, which is over there to my right. And, you know, there's a bass there with the Phantom as well. And this is the drums. And it's all, as I press the down cursor in my sequencer, it's controlling different bits of kit.
So again, for those who aren't musicians, that was all done in software.
Yeah, it all was. Yeah.
There isn't a real band sitting there with Andre.
No.
Just one person.
Just one.
And usually activating all of this music from what looks like a piano keyboard, not a computer keyboard, but you use the computer keyboard to change what kinds of sounds are coming out.
Yep, that's exactly it. Or the instruments, or the whatever synth I want to play at the time. And of course, they can all play together in harmony. With software, I'm sitting in front of physically five synthesizers, virtually another, I think it's 11 all told.
So, okay, we talked a little bit about the Ninjam and how it works and how much fun you can have with this. How do people actually get involved in doing this? You go to their site, ninjam.com. What do you have to do from there? You have to download some software? Does it run off the server or what?
Yeah, you download a software package and you install it and you configure it for your sound card, which would be hard to cover because everybody has different stuff and would be beyond the scope of this interview. But once you configure it, you basically connect to a server, and there's a list of servers on the site, so you needn't, you know, play guesswork or something. And you can also Google other Ninjam servers. If you type Ninjam server into Google, a lot of things do come up, and people run their own. I run my own server for people that want to join quietly but don't want to feel intimidated by a bunch of people. And if you want to join that, then just get in touch, and we'll go and play, and I'll teach you how to use it if I can, and we'll set up. It's good fun. And there's a lot of public servers, and that's where all the noisy people can be. But, you know, I've had good jams on both public and private servers, so don't be put off by that.
So you actually did a very good podcast that is posted on Blind Cool Tech about using Ninjam, and you went through the process in a lot of detail. We'll put the link to that in our show notes so people can find the details of that. But that was done a while ago, and I was wondering if there are any changes to the Ninjam interface, because you talked about how to use it with a screen reader and how to start using the program. Are there any changes in the program since then?
I would love to say yes, that they've made it better, but they haven't. There's another program out called Reaper, Reaper.fm, which you can use better with Ninjam. It's made by the same people, but it's a completely different interface. It's a recorder. It's a digital workstation, DAW, digital audio workstation. So essentially it has access to Ninjam within itself, and it's potentially nicer, although that depends on your screen reader and whether you can get the scripts for it and whatnot. So yes and no. The original Ninjam program, which I still use because I haven't bothered to learn Reaper because I'm lazy, is still the same.
So it also sounded like you were encouraging people to either contact you or get involved in one of your jams on one of your servers. How can people make these contacts?
You can get in touch with me, as I said, via the SoundCloud page, and you can also get in touch by my normal website, which is andrelouis.com, andrelouis.com. And there's contact information there, including Twitter and Facebook and all that usual stuff.
Where can people get some of the music you've created?
I have a little resource I'd like to shamelessly plug, if that's okay.
Oh, please do.
Well, recently I was asked by a lot of people, because I have a lot of free music online, to make it more easily accessible, because SoundCloud isn't always a screen reader's best friend. So I stuck together a Dropbox folder with, at the moment, over 100 tracks. I'm just looking as I multitask and talk. It has 113 tracks in it at the moment, all MP3s, all free to use in your podcast and things. The name of the Dropbox folder is Freaky Fourth Tracks. Now, Freaky Fourth is my Twitter handle. It's also the name I use on Audioboo and other places, which is FreakyFwoof. Long story about that.
Is there a short version?
I did an Audioboo on this a couple of months ago on how the onomatopoeia for that came around. Essentially, it was my friend Patrick Perdue, who probably most of you would know listening to this. He played a WAV file of a chair scraping across tiles, and I said that sounded like the word woof. And I typed it on some TTS engine back in the day, and it sounded really stupid, and it made me laugh. And I just sort of took the name, the nomenclature, and just it stuck. I don't know where the freaky part came from, but it stuck.
Cute.
Completely pointless. But that's what happened. So you can actually access this Dropbox folder full of free stuff to use in your podcast, on hospital radio, on the phone, wherever you want to use it, at onj.me, Mike Echo, /freakyfwooftracks, all one word. It's there, free for use.
And this is all music you've written and put together with your synthesizers.
Exactly. There's no vocals and no other person is involved in any of the making of the stuff. And it gets updated quite a lot. So, you know, I can update maybe twice a day or twice a week, depending on how prolific I feel.
You mentioned you have postings on Audioboo. Where would somebody find those?
If you go to Audioboo, AUDIOBOO.FM, once again, you guessed it, Freaky Foof, you will get all of my Audioboos directly.
And thank you to Andre for turning us on to Audioboo. Now, every week, in addition to announcing the new Eyes on Success show in Facebook and Twitter, we also post a boo on Audioboo, and that's at Eyes on Success.
And there is also our email listener forum. If you send an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign and the word subscribe at googlegroups.com, you can receive weekly updates on our latest shows and interact with other listeners.
Ninjam can be a lot of fun.
I had no idea what to expect from this Ninjam thing, but, you know, the music actually sounded pretty pleasant, and you would have thought the musicians were playing together in a room.
Yeah, when it gets going, you really can feel like that. And, you know, once you've been playing for like a good 5-10 minutes and, you know, everybody's warmed up and in the groove, it flows along like water. It's amazing. And I'd like to get you involved in this, actually, somehow.
We'll see. I'm so busy these days. But it sounds kind of tempting.
Oh, you'd love it. You wouldn't give it up. I know you'd have a sleepless night like I did the first time I did it.
Now, there's a great offer. Well, we replaced our regular breaker tune with an example of Andre jamming using Ninjam.
Showing that it actually is possible, and it works.
And now for this week's high-tech item, an excerpt from Andre's podcast, complete with more examples of Ninjam music.
Hey folks, this is, bad reverb and bad timing. That's Mr. Louis making a mistake already, and it's not even 2 minutes into the interview, or review, rather. I'm interviewing myself. This is a review about Ninjam, N-I-N-J-A-M, which is a program that allows you to do stuff like this over the internet. It can be found at www.ninjam.com. The idea behind it is basically to jam with people you've probably never met before. Close to real time as possible. It can be quite fun. It can be quite crazy. But what it is, it's just a bit of a fun tool, really. It's hard to use it for anything real. Although once you get in a groove, you certainly can do some amazing things. This is a jam with myself, DJ Goldfingers, a guy called Brunello, who's a guitarist from Italy and a good friend of mine. And that's about it, really. I think there's a saxophonist in there called Steph occasionally, but at the moment it's just us playing. And this was what jam that I performed in last year, and I've never met any of these guys at all. I mean, being in different countries, Goldfingers is in the US and I'm over here in the UK, and Brunello's in Italy, and I'm on keyboards playing Rhodes in my right hand and bass in my left, and Jeff is on drums and Brunello's on guitar. Quite fun, and I'd like to take you guys through a bit of a tour of Ninjam World at the moment, if at all possible, and explain a bit about it.
That was just a brief excerpt from the podcast that Andre put together, and if you'd like to hear the rest of it, you can go to our show notes, as usual, where we'll have links to that and all of the other resources that we talked about previously in the show, so you don't have to be writing this stuff down and trying to capture it real time.
That's it for show number 1337. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the new Prodigy digital magnifier system from Humanware. This revolutionary new system combines all the features of a desktop system with a portable unit for on-the-go convenience. We'll talk with Sam Adler and Chris Bender from Humanware about how they've incorporated a lot of technology to create an easy-to-use, fully digital magnifier.
If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.